So the last lines of the gospel today, if not, you can cut it down, kind of fits the season, at least in terms of over at the seminary. The grapevines that I have over there in the field, it's time to prune them. It's time to look forward to maybe getting some fruit, which I have not gotten yet. So our vines are 5 years old. We have 96 vines, and I've gotten like two grapes. So this is going to be an important year for the grapevines. So this gospel today applies directly to them, because I'm going to give them another year, prune them later today, finish pruning them up, and if we don't get grapes this year, I'm going to be hard-pressed not to tear them out. But I probably would give them another year, because I can't really blame the grapes. Most of that's on me. You plant grapes, and for the first 2 years, you don't get any fruit, and you have to actually prune them all the way back down. So you plant a grapes stalk, and it grows all the way up, 6, 7, 8 feet tall in 1 year. And then you cut it all the way back down to two buds. Then the second year, it grows all the way back up again, and you cut it all the way back down to two buds. So that forces the roots to grow. Then in the third year, it grows and it comes out, and you might get some fruit. But if you don't, that's all right. But the fourth year, you have the grapevine up, and this is the year you should get your first crop. Well, that was last year for me. Yeah. But you have to spray them, and you have to spray them all the time in terms of early enough. And I missed the first early sprayings. And so the grapes come up, the bunches, the clusters form, and just as I think they're going to turn, they turn black and shrivel up because it got a fungus. That was my fault. So last year I blamed on me. This year I'm going to blame on the grapes. So, but when we hear this, it is about the season. It's about the Lord pointing out that God's mercy, which is always available to us, but it is for a season. There is a time in which the Lord is going to look for the fruit. And the Lord continues to bless, to forgive, to give of himself to us in order that we might bear fruit. It's interesting what the gardener says. He says, I'll cultivate the ground around it, which means he's going to break up the soil and maybe even root prune the tree. So if you're going to transplant a tree, if it's not too big, and you say, I'm going to transplant this tree in the next couple years, it's smart to dig around the tree, and you divide that up by thirds, and then you divide the thirds in half. So you basically have 9 sections, and you dig around the tree in 4 or 5 of those, and you cut the roots all the way down. And where you cut the roots, then it will grow more fibrous roots, feeder roots, and be ready to transplant in another year. If you just, in a sense, cold dig a tree, you'll put it into shock. So you trim the roots, which nurseries do. They have machines that go down the sides, and on a, you know, maybe 3 to 4 years into the growth of the tree, and they're going to dig it the following or next year, they trim the roots. But that puts the tree under some stress. So when we hear the word, he'll cultivate, it's not like take a little hoe and scratch the surface. They're going to cut some roots and cause some amount of stress for the tree so that the tree responds. And then we hear the line, and fertilize around it. Well, that's a nice way of saying, in the old translations, manure. And we know what that is. And that gets dumped on the roots, right? So anybody who would have been hearing this in the time would have realized what this means is the Lord's going to help me grow by the trial. And the Lord's going to help cultivate and manure. And we can think about that in a kind of funny way. But the fact is, we grow in grace when we have to rely on the Lord for our growth. And that almost always only happens when we're under some challenge, some trial, and we have to turn to the Lord. In our first reading, we see that Moses actually recognizes that time of grace and, in a certain sense, steps into the opportunity to grow in the Lord. Moses is taking care of what he needs to take care of. It's his business to watch the flock. He's on his way. And yet he sees this particular sight, the burning bush, off to the side. And the translation that we have doesn't bring it out quite as clearly, but the Hebrew basically says, and he turned from his path, which means he was willing to be diverted to see. But it's only after he turns that the Lord calls him by name. It is only when we actually make a turn ourselves. So the Lord allows things to take place in our lives, whether they be the blessings or the challenges, the good things, the hardships. Those things take place, and they're, in a sense, burning bush moments. They're opportunities to see the Lord, but it's only when we actually pay attention, are allowing ourselves to be diverted from our path, our hearts to be opened up, that the Lord speaks to us directly by name. Moses allows that to happen, and of course, he's almost immediately sorry that he did. And that's also how it works. We open our hearts to the Lord, and the Lord is going to challenge you more than what you really want to be. The Lord's going to call for a transformation of our hearts more and more deeply than we ourselves would be willing to give. Because God is not satisfied with half measures. God wants our whole heart, not just part of it. In the second reading, we hear Paul hold out as an example the Israelites in the desert. And what he says basically is for 40 years they had a chance to both repent and to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. They did not. They grumbled, and they grumbled against the Lord. And even as the Lord tried them with the seraph serpent and in the desert in other means, their hearts just became more hard, and eventually the Lord cut them down. If you pay attention to the story in the book of Numbers, that first generation that came out of Egypt, none of them made it into the promised land. They were in the desert for 40 years, and it was the next generation that went into the promised land. There's an appointed time. There's a time of the Lord's mercy and grace in which he continues to work with us, in which he continues to prompt our hearts, to prompt our minds to pay attention and to give the Lord all. And then that time comes to an end. So as we continue in our Lenten observance, as we continue in this year, we can hear what the Lord says to us in this parable, that the Lord again leaves us here for this day, cultivating, fertilizing, hoping that we cooperate with his grace, that we open up our hearts, that we have the desire to allow the Lord to change us completely into who the Lord calls and hopes we become, so that we may bear future fruit. But that future is today. So let us not waste the opportunity. And let us not be like the fig tree that once again bears nothing and exhausts the soil. Let's not be like my grapevines across the road, which today is the beginning of their last chance. So may God bless all of us in our continued efforts to recognize and cooperate with the Lord's grace, and that, like Moses, we might hear the Lord call us directly by name, that we might know the mission and the purpose that he's given us for this life.